Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
And now, a brand new episode of the Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM with hosts Alan Mahana and Hod Solo.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM. I'm your host, Al Mahana, and as always, joining me in the studio is the solo to my Jubaka, the one and only Hod Solo.
Hello, Alan. How are you today?
Well, it's a Script to Screen Saturday, so I'm doing awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about today. We have so much to talk about.
This is what we're saying every week now, yeah. Because we're so much focusing on the news and yeah. We're focusing on these headlines. We're looking at the business in a brand new way. We're not so jumping around on topics. It's very much what is in the headlines. This is what we're talking about. What you guys want, you know, you our screeners want us to be talking about, commenting on, etc. This is what Script to Screen News Hour has become, and it's so much fun because it keeps us pretty much updated all the time now because we have to be.
Yeah.
It's not just a hobby anymore. It's we actually need to know what's happening.
We need to read a lot of articles for you guys.
A lot of news.
But it's good because there's always something happening in Hollywood or in the world or in the series world.
Yeah.
And it's nice to keep people up to date. I mean, we want to tell you what's happening. We want you to know what's going on out there. And there's always so much. And with our little two cents, if I may say.
I think this is the part that I love about what we're doing on NewsHour the most. It's not just that we're reading the news headlines, it's that we're also putting in our opinion. We're commenting on it, not just as a, you know, so this is what's happening, but this is what's happening and here's what we think about it. Here's our script to screen perspective, if you will.
Totally.
And that's kind of what I like about what we're doing here because, again, we want to start the conversation. We want to be part of that conversation.
Totally.
And yep. Putting in our perspective kind of keeps us in the loop. It keeps us, like I said, updated, and it keeps us keeps the conversation alive.
Completely. Basically. Completely true. Yeah.
So as always, we are bringing back the movie of the week segment.
Yeah.
We didn't do that last week. We didn't necessarily have a movie of the week, and it was kind of our first time doing Script to Screen News Hour, so we didn't want to overstuff the episode. But we're back with news with Movie of the Week.
Yeah.
And we both saw a film earlier this week by the name of Alpha.
Yeah.
Distributed in Lebanon by Empire Movies.
Yes, completely.
So what do you think?
Let me start by telling you a funny story, and then I'll tell you what I think about the movie.
Sure.
I woke up this morning, and I'm, preparing myself, you know, like, reading and gathering some info for the show today. And I'm like, what's the movie of the week?
Oh,
and it made me realize that effectively, my initial reaction to the movie was kind of true.
Okay.
Let's talk about the movie technically already.
Sure.
Visually, the movie is stunning.
Absolutely.
It's eye candy. There are some amazing shots, and you really feel that you're... Because the movie takes place in prehistoric times, and you feel you are in prehistoric times.
The Cro-Magnon age,
yes.
If you will.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice. Very well played.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing. It's a movie, but besides that, everything is at two opposites, two polar ice caps. So for example...
Good one. Yeah. It's a little delayed, but I got it.
So for example, like the CGI, you have some scenes where it's like, wow, this CGI is really good. And then another scene where you're like, what? This is so
bad.
Execution is so poor. The acting, you had some very touching scenes and some less touching ones.
Yeah, exactly. This was my initial problem with Alpha is that it was one of those films that I really wanted to love.
Yeah.
Because I'm a dog person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe wolves are my spirit animals.
Yeah.
I've donated to.
Do you have a dog?
Reservations. I have a dog. Yeah. So I really, really desperately wanted to love this film. And I didn't. Mm. And I feel like it's because the film didn't necessarily trust its audience as much as it should have.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, and I know a lot of, if my students are listening right now, that you're probably going to, you know, go crazy when you hear this. I think for the first time ever, I wanted this film to have no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want it to have this prehistoric language.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to have any dialogue for that matter. The images were enough
mm-hmm.
to tell me what was happening, to tell me the story, to connect me on a much deeper level with, you know, man and wolf and man and nature and all that stuff. I want to agree with you. I think the filmmaker and the cinematographer took so much advantage of the location, which they shot all over the place. They were, internationally. They went and filmed in a bunch of different areas. According to the production notes, they used seriously like high-tech lenses.
It shows.
They did a lot of visual work. What they didn't work on was the screenplay, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It was the story that was lacking. And this was a story that you had such a great opportunity to put so much heart in a story like this, to have me crying at the end of the movie, to have me literally worrying about every single moment where these two beings, and I'm not gonna, you know, like, because they're beings.
Yeah.
It's not about a man and a wolf. It's about two beings becoming kind of one and being connected on a much deeper spiritual level, cosmic mm-hmm. level, if you will. And this was a missed opportunity for me because I felt no connection to either the main character nor the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Although Cody, I think it's Cody Smits McPhee.
They have very complicated names.
His name, man, the actor's name kills me. And he was in Let the Right One In. He's been in a bunch of films as well. I know his first name is Cody. And I know it's Cody spelt with a K as well. Hang on real quick. Because I want to get this. I want to get this right. Anyway, because I don't want to waste too much time. But the main actor did a good job.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, the story didn't help
him.
Yes. The narrative didn't help him. Okay, so his name is Cody Smit. There it is. So I was right. Cody Smit McPhee.
Yeah.
Which is, you're right. It is kind of a...
And the guy who plays his father is like Swedish or something.
Yeah, he is Swedish.
Yeah.
So for me, the story wasn't enough. Visually, you're 100% right. The film is a feast. I mean, my favorite shot is the one with the ice.
Yeah.
It's that wide shot with the ice, with the
underwater
Cody underwater and the wolf jumping over water. I mean, wow. Talk about visual symbolism to the 1,000,000%. But it wasn't enough to carry the film. And the film isn't even long, but it felt like a decade.
Yeah.
There's a lot of walking in this movie. There's so much walking.
You know that they're struggling. You know that they're going through a lot, but... It's not something we've never seen before.
Yeah, like I wanted more things to happen.
We really wanted to see that bond between the wolf and Keda.
Keda.
Keda. Keda. be more powerful. And there's Sabretooth, I guess, who is the villain. The really, I don't know. I was disappointed too.
You know what film between a man and another being gave me a much stronger connection?
No, tell me.
The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, okay, yes, yes.
I mean, I was bawling at the end of that movie. I was in tears at the end of that movie. And it's, I mean, again, it's Pixar.
Yeah.
You know.
and it's known to be one of their kind of missteps.
I don't know why that is seen as a misstep. Yeah. I thought the film was excellent.
It was nice, yeah.
Yeah, but as a script-to-screen rating, I mean, again, if you want to go see a beautiful National Geographic documentary, go. And watch it. Because again, it's a beautiful feast. And look, any dog lover out there is going to bond with the film. It's not going to be as strong a bond as it should be, but you're going to bond with it anyway. I mean, I wanted to hug the wolf, honestly. Yeah.
Look, it's not an annoying movie. It's not a bad movie. It's just a meh kind of movie.
Yeah, it's meh.
It's forgetful.
Very forgetful.
Waking up this morning and not being able to remember this film shows you a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried. They have nice scenes, as you said, and but that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have given it a 5 out of 10, but the scenes, the visuals gives it a 6. It just pushes it a bit, just a bit more, like again, a tad more, but that's pretty much it.
I love this because I gave it a 3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're
3 out of 5.
3 out of 5, yeah. 6 out of 10, 3 out of 5. So we're literally on the same level as always. And with us is our guest for this following segment, the great founder of the Beirut Film Society, among a million other things, the fantastic Sam Lahoud. Hello.
You make me smile every time you do the introduction. I feel like I'm the Pope, like the great, Peter the Great.
The legendary.
Grand introductions by Alan, always.
His legacy precedes him.
Thank you, Alan. This is very kind from you.
You are returning to Script to Screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you were on the show. You were on the show once before, but now the show's evolved so many times, which I am certain you have also evolved since we last spoke. So for those new listeners, new screeners that are tuning into the show now, why don't we give them a little bit of information about what the Beirut Film Society is before we delve deeper into your new adventures and projects with Beirut Film Society.
Thank you guys for having me with you.
And we're glad to have you.
Thank you, Alan, for the introduction. Well, Beirut Film Society was a movement, like a movement of artistic movement of collaboration between different young persons in the field of filmmaking. We started working together, but without giving it this name. It was we took a slogan called Cinema for a Cause since 2007.
Okay.
And we started doing a lot of activities, mainly related to training, cultural events, cine club, productions, small productions.
Yeah. Consultancy, helping young people in script writing here and there in projects. And then the same people in this movement we established together in the Youth Film Festival, and later part of us went into production, others went into the professional field and to different sectors. And we decided lately to organize those activities in an official organization or association called Beirut Film Society, and we made it like official with Mukhabar, with all those official documents with the government. Mm-hmm. So last year, 2017, and the main objective of this association or this NGO is to spread the Lebanese cinema culture in everywhere in the country, especially in the places that are not reachable, where they don't have accessibility to cinema, and also spread the Lebanese cinema around the world, everywhere in the world. So we established Lebanese Film Festival in Canada.
Okay.
We are now in 5 cities, and next week we will start the second chapter of Montreal and Ottawa.
Wow.
So
okay.
Next Saturday I'm traveling to Canada. We are launching the Montreal chapter, the second edition, and then we move to Ottawa. And in October, it's in Toronto, in March, in Vancouver, and in May, in Halifax.
Wow.
So we have a program, this program tours. It starts with Montreal, with the central event, and then it tours all around the Canadian cities, wherever there is Lebanese. I'm programming also now a program for Boston.
Okay.
There's also the Lebanese immigrants there, so okay. They want to organize
a program. Yeah, Boston has a big Lebanese population.
Exactly. It's everywhere, you know, in the world. Yeah. And in Los Angeles also, the council, the Lebanese ambassador wants to organize something. I also programmed for Guanajuato Film Festival in Mexico and for Oujda Film Festival in Morocco. And in November, we have also Lebanon will be the special guest of Festival International du Film d'Auteur Rabat, Morocco.
Wow.
So
okay.
Also, I did the program together with my colleagues in the in Beirut Film Society. And we established also Beirut International Women Film Festival. And
yep.
Now we are working on Beirut Children and Family Film Festival. So as you see, it's all in the same circle, promoting for responsible cinema, promoting for cinema for a cause, promoting for Lebanese cinema everywhere in the
In the world.
Wherever there is Lebanese somewhere, so. And also helping in programming Lebanese films and other festivals.
That's fantastic. That's just
a very fast brief.
Yeah, because it's a lot. So what are some of, well, you kind of sort of mentioned it a little bit, but what are some of the plans for, or let's say projects for the Beirut Film Society in this coming year?
Yeah. In fact, now we are running a project. We are doing the fourth chapter in next week, also on Thursday, called Girls for Change.
Yes.
And Girls
that
for Change...
That started a little earlier in the summer, correct?
Yeah, exactly. We started in June.
In June, yeah.
And Girls for Change is a program supported by UNICEF and in collaboration with the Ministry of Displaced Affairs and Ministry of Women Affairs. And also with NDU International Film Festival and Beirut Women Film Festival.
Okay.
So this initiative is a capacity building initiative. It's a project of training young girls, adolescent girls, from the most vulnerable regions in Lebanon and families. So those girls, Lebanese and Syrian girls from the refugees community.
Sure.
And those girls, they meet together, like 20 to 25 girls between the age of 13 and 17. And they receive a training over 4 days. We start with storytelling, then with script writing. And the second day, we receive a special guest, one famous female that made it to
in the business
with it in a good way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they take training on camera, and the third day they shoot the films they write on the first day. And on the first day they take editing, and they edit the film.
Wow,
and the end
okay.
result of this workshop is, like, for a group of 20 girls, we have 4 short films.
Wow, okay.
Written and made by those girls. It's a beautiful experience. It gives them hope. It gives them a skill. You know, some of them, they are illiterate. They don't know how to write and read. And this is a great opportunity for them to give them a chance to learn something new.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a great cause. And will those films, for example, have a special segment maybe in the...
This is it.
In one of those 2 festivals?
Exactly. We will start when we finish Burj Hamoud next week. In fact, we did it in Wadi Khaled, then in Shtoura, in Nabatiye, and now in Burj Hamoud. Mm-hmm. And we are receiving calls from some local association, other regions.
Wow,
they want to organize
cool.
it in their regions. So now we may do in the north another one in Zgharta, Mziara, and then another one in Kisrawan, in Metan. So we are preparing another bunch of trainings for next year to tour again in other regions, because it was very effective, and it's a pity to finish it that fast.
Yeah for sure.
And
for sure.
We want to cover the biggest number, a bigger number of participants. You know, now we are reaching around 100, so maybe next year we reach another 150 or 200 girls,
okay.
which is good. And the result of those training, we will do a special program. We will start with NDU International Film Festival, hopefully in November, and then we will screen them in Women Film Festival. And we have other partners around the world that want to screen them already.
Yeah.
Like I have more than 10 festivals that they want this program. So hopefully if it's a good
result. Yeah.
So, and I think we are having good ones. I already watched some of the films. So it will do a very beautiful program, the program done by girls, those adolescent girls with... that are coming from such sometimes misery places,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And
difficult
doing
places,
this
yeah.
positive result.
For sure, for sure.
And also we are preparing something new, and this is, it will be the scoop for the program today.
Sure, yeah.
So we are still preparing it. It's in the funding process. It's called Cinema for Peace. So we're preparing a camp, a summer camp, that will include around 200 filmmakers from all the Arab world, from the countries that are suffering from war conflicts, like Libya, Egypt, Sudan, Palestine, Iraq, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, from everywhere, and from Lebanon. And those campers, filmmakers, they during this camp, 10 days camp, they will receive a long training on how to use film and audiovisual as a tool for peace.
Wow.
How to promote peace in their films, how to be peace sensitive in their films, how to know what is what should be done or should not be done in order to reduce the violence in media and in film.
That's
and
fantastic.
Promote for more peace.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And then the NDU Film Festival, as you said, is in November this year. Any possible tease as to what theme this year will be?
In fact, we are celebrating from 25 November to December 2nd. Hopefully, everything will go well. We are still waiting. You know, the last minute decisions will define the identity of the festival for this edition. However, what we are celebrating every year since, I think, 5 years, we are celebrating this slogan of power of youth.
Power of youth,
because
yeah.
we are trying to empower youth in building their first steps in their career. And this is what we decided with the team, that this should be the identity of the festival, especially that it is celebrated in university, and the majority of the audience is from film students and young filmmakers.
Yeah, but and one of the things that I've always appreciated about the NDU Film Festival is that it not only just celebrates the youth, but it celebrates the youth on a global level. You've constantly brought in filmmakers from abroad and films from abroad. You also hold workshops at the festival, which is something that not all film festivals in Lebanon do. But it used to be, you know, some of the film festivals I've attended in the U.S., all of them, they constantly have workshops. And I think this is it's a very like important, essential part of a film festival to be able to sit and listen to filmmakers. Makers talk, like there are panels and all that stuff. And I think that's one of the things that I have constantly, received my respect from my end. Because you, again, us on Script to Screen, we've always, specifically recently, we've always wanted the, again, we keep promoting the conversation, having a non-toxic, positive conversation around cinema. And I think this is part of what NDU Film Festival has always done.
It's a part of the mission. You know, the board members decided that this festival should have, a part of it should have this academic value, you know, level. And my colleague and I, my co-director, Dr. Nicola Khabbaz, you know, we worked together on this project and we built it together. So we decided from the first moment that we have to offer the audience, especially the filmmakers, a good quality seminars and workshops during the festival. And this is why we bring big names from the industry, from other festivals, from big festivals. Last year we had the programmer of Toronto, TIFF, and the programmer from Tampere, and from around 12 festivals from VIS, Vienna Independent Shorts, and I cannot name them all. You know, we had every year we have around 12 festivals in the
12 representatives.
Exactly, 12 representatives, and those represent those programmers. They want material, they want films. So this is opening an opportunity for you, those. Young filmmakers that are participating at NDU to screen their films in front of programmers, and those programmers, they are taking their films everywhere in other festivals around the world, and this is one of the values that NDU gives to its participants and its visitors.
Yeah, and that's something that I've always appreciated. Have you ever attended the festival?
No, I've heard a lot about it.
Okay,
we've talked about it, you and I.
Yeah, this year will be your first visit.
Would love to.
I would like to highlight something also, Alan, that this year, this last June, we signed an agreement of collaboration with Shanghai International Film Festival.
Wow,
we are now partners with 31 festivals in an alliance called the Road and Belt Film Festivals Alliance.
Okay.
And this union includes so far 31 festivals, and it's growing. And we are from the first group that we founded this alliance. And this this group includes festivals from the traditional Silk Road and Belt countries, from China to Europe.
That's so cool.
And you know that in China, they are opening this initiative since 4 or 5 years, economically, artistically, culturally, politically somehow also. And this is the cultural movement related to this mm-hmm. initiative, the Belt and Road. And this also will open other opportunities for our participants and for the young directors, because all those festivals will be checking in the EU, like we do also. We check them, we check other festivals, check the program to know what are the films and to hunt filmmakers and good films.
You know, it kind of reminds me of how film used to be distributed back before, before the world wars occurred, because film used to kind of migrate. Like mm-hmm. it was never the system of watching films across the world was very different than what it is now. You used to literally, it was like a carnival. Like you would take your film and go and set up and, screen it. And so this idea of the belt, that initiative kind of reminds me of that. Exactly. It's almost like, let's just share our films with each other and expose artists and share artists and spread, the craft of cinema and the craft of filmmaking.
In fact, this is the age of cultural exchange.
Yeah.
You know, the distance are shorter and it's faster and we can reach each other very fast.
Yep.
And culture is the... is the fortune of the present and the future. So now and nowadays, people everywhere in the world, they seek to understand other cultures, to know it, to see it. And this is part of opening to each other and becoming more tolerant to each other and understand each other more. This is culture always, it opens doors between, it builds bridges, it doesn't build walls, And this is where comes the importance of highlighting our cultural diplomacy in Lebanon, because this is something we have to work on. We have to promote for our culture and our diplomatic missions everywhere in the world, in the embassies, in the consulates. So I think this is the real petrol and gas of Lebanon.
Yeah, for sure. And this is something I've always said, is that we have a lot of talent in this country. We have a lot of talented filmmakers, a lot of talented writers, actors, editors,
exactly. In fact,
cinematographers. We just lack the proper support.
In fact, we have nothing but culture and talent.
Yeah,
and
that's very true.
This is the real thing that we have to be to brag about it.
That's very true. Sam, I want to thank you so much for sharing all this news with us. It's very, very amazing to hear about it, to hear what Beirut Film Society is doing. I think it's a fantastic initiative. I can't wait for November to come along and NDU IFF to start picking up. And hopefully we'll, bring you back or bring filmmakers back and talk with them on the show and kind of put, again, as I've done in the past, is put a spotlight on NDUIFF because again, I love the festival.
Yeah,
I love the
you.
Atmosphere. You guys work so hard for it and it shows every single year.
Thank you. And you are doing a good job, especially great job, in fact, in helping and supporting young filmmakers and
thank you.
Put them in the light and give them some hope.
Thank you very much, Sam. Thank you. So we're back with the third segment of our show, Delays, Castings, and Dramas. And there's so much happening in Hollywood this week. We'll start off with the good stuff, and then we'll kind of shuffle off towards the not-so-great stuff. It was like a while back we heard that there was going to be a new Die Hard.
Yeah.
and not a lot of us were
excited or happy
about it.
Because technically Die Hard stopped after the third one, and after that.
Yeah, I mean, Live Free or Die Hard. Yeah, no.
No.
And then the one with his son.
Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. So, so we're getting another one, except this one comes with a twist.
Yeah.
He sees
dead people.
Bazinga.
Yeah.
So it's going to have a younger John McClane. Although it's going to have Bruce Willis in
both.
It's going to focus more on the younger John McClane. Now, as much as I don't like that idea, and I felt like they could have at least picked up with his son or daughter, but I think they're trying to retcon themselves maybe and kind of delete that he had a son or daughter. I don't know. But the cool thing about that is that I read that Bruce Willis is actually helping with the casting of the young John McClane, which I think that's kind of dope. Honestly, because no other franchise has done this. No other franchise has actually said to the actor that they're kind of recasting or bringing in a younger version is, hey, how about you help us pick? You know, Lucasfilm, you know, Lucasfilm, you know who you should have taken into consideration? Harrison Ford. Yeah. Before you cast Aldrin, whatever his name is, for Solo.
Yeah, look, I'm not very happy with this whole Die Hard thing, personally. I'm a big Die Hard fan.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed the first three films. I think it should have stopped it there. I think they're actually looking to reboot the franchise one way or another.
Yeah.
And maybe focusing on that young John McClane and, and the years before the first Die Hard, they could play around with that maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but when was the first Die Hard released? In the 80s?
I think late 80s.
So we're looking at a 70s movie?
Maybe.
Are they going to set it in the 70s?
Probably. If it's a younger, or it could be a few years before the events of the first Die Hard. I'm just not too warm with the whole idea. I think Hollywood is, we've talked about this before, but Hollywood is becoming lazy. And I think
they
should come up with new content, new characters. Leave John McClane alone. It was Bruce Willis's thing. Plus the whole idea of having an old and young Bruce Willis, because it's not just focusing on the young one.
Yeah,
apparently it's flashbacks. It's him and having flashbacks of when he was young. Maybe he's dying on a hospital bed. I don't know.
Is this going to be like Die Hard, The Bold and the Beautiful?
Wow. I hope not.
Because, you know, flashbacks in soap operas?
Yeah.
Or is this like the lost version of Die Hard? Die Hard Lost?
And then the future. And then they have a much older...
Flash forwards and flash backwards.
Yeah. If they wanted to do something with Die Hard, they should have done something a la Logan, something with an older kind of, older Bruce Willis. Yes.
And kind of like, that's it. And then
end that's it. And just end it. Yeah. And if they want to reboot it, then okay, fine, just reboot it. But don't link Bruce Willis himself, his legacy, that character, with a younger, new character and whatnot. Just start over, if you want to start over.
Right.
Because Die Hard is you know, such an aggressive film.
It's a legacy, man. Yeah, it's a legacy.
Just serve it properly. Do it right.
You know, this is one of the things that makes me respect Spielberg so much, because Spielberg has been quoted multiple times saying that the moment that Harrison Ford steps away from Indiana Jones is over.
I hope Lucasfilm stick to that.
Well, I mean,
they can do whatever they want.
Isn't it like both Spielberg and Lucas's property, though?
I'm not sure. I don't know who has a bigger percentage within Lucasfilm and Disney. Why? Because, you know, buying Lucasfilm means you buy Indiana Jones, you buy Star Wars.
All right, so then we're pretty much in the dump.
So, yeah.
Speaking of things in the dump, Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah. it's look, it started out...
What a mess.
It started out with an episode, you and me talking about it the very next day, about the whole James Gunn fiasco, and it just went downhill.
I love how, like, when we were talking about it, we were like, we're so looking forward to, like, Guardians 3 and what's supposed to happen, and then it's like...
So it's delayed now, and... Oh, good, the delay is fine.
Yeah, but do you think it's the delay... Okay, so here's... So here are the ripples of that. So James Gunn gets fired for being a normal human being and making lewd jokes on Twitter eons ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, politically speaking, tit for tat, you want to fire Republicans, we're going to fire liberals. And so you can't pick and choose who you want to fire. So Disney's forced to fire James Gunn.
Yeah.
The Guardians of the Galaxy fans go berserk.
Yep.
Marvel fans go crazy. But then so does the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy, and they all kind of stand by James Gunn.
But some more accentuated
more so
than
others. Dave Bautista.
Exactly.
Which brings us to where we are today, to where Dave Bautista is basically saying he's not sure he's going to be coming back for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Aside from the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 has also been delayed, aside from the fact that the Russo brothers have basically hinted that... we don't know what events are going to occur in Avengers 4 that could potentially reshape what happens with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very confusing.
Look, at first I kind of respected what Batista was doing, standing up for his friend and like someone he's close to, but I think he's made a lot of mistakes. He even revealed certain things about Guardians 4 Avengers 4 regarding the Guardians role in that film. And I'm not going to say what it is because if you don't know, good for you. Don't look it up.
Because if you guys haven't figured it out yet, when it comes to spoilers, Hadi is so anti-spoiler.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% for spoilers, but there are some spoilers that are just too juicy to resist.
Yeah, but I can't.
You're so pure.
I would get really like ticked off if someone spoiled something for me. So
like that one time somebody when they bought the Harry Potter 6th book and somebody
That guy.
The first guy that bought the book skips around to the end and then goes Dumbledore dies.
And then they beat him up.
Yeah, basically. And took away his book.
Exactly. Ooh.
So then Dave Bautista's not sure if he's coming back. Marvel has been speaking to a bunch of different directors. They spoke to Taika Waititi. I can never get his name right. Is it Taika?
Yeah,
Taika Waititi. It's Taika Waititi. They spoke to him. We are not sure if it's because of Guardians 3 or some other franchise, like some other hero character. Maybe they want to bring him back for a Thor film. We're not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. But a lot of us are speculating that it is for Guardians 3. A lot of us believe, and I'm one of those people that believes, he would be the best choice because Thor Ragnarok is probably one of the better Thor films.
Absolutely.
And he kind of gets the colorful, jokey sense of humor kind of thing.
I can see him taking the role of James Gunn because James Gunn had a much bigger role than just directing Guardians 3.
Yeah, there were rumors that he was going to be spreading, right?
Yeah, spreading into the galactic universe of Marvel and handling all of that. And I do see Taika Waititi being able to do that. So very good choice. I hope they go down this direction. Dave Bautista, I think they'll be able to solve it in Infinity War, if they want.
Worst case scenario,
4,
they kill him off.
They can completely kill him off. They can recast him.
Sure.
I mean, it's not. He wouldn't be the first actor that's been recast in a sequel to a movie.
Sure.
I think he's making too much of a big deal out of it. He's being too aggressive. He's starting to become toxic.
Well, right, because he's also prioritizing James Gunn over his fan base and the franchise, and that becomes problematic. Continuing on with Marvel, the first images of Captain Marvel were released. Yeah. They look pretty dope.
Yep.
I'm not a big fan of Entertainment Weekly's little tagline, although we have to deal with it. But, the future is female. Not to be opinionated, but that it just irks me so much when they play up for this. It's like, we get it. She's a strong superhero. Stop. We don't need to be reminded that everybody in Hollywood believes that the future is female. It's cool. I have nothing against women and women in power. You just don't need to force feed it every single time you release an image of Captain Marvel. We get it.
Yeah, but she's the first superhero. The MCU is, who has a solo movie, who has a big part. Let's see how it goes. I mean, I love the pictures, but on a side note,
look,
I was very excited.
Yes.
I loved seeing characters from Guardians.
Yeah.
Ronan the Accuser, Jimon Hutsu.
Yeah.
His character is in one of the pictures. There were a lot of comments online about the Kree.
Yeah.
The way they look, some memes were circulating.
Yep.
But it's very nice, and I can't wait to see how this is all going to tie. Oh, and a young Nick Fury with two eyes.
Yes.
That was pretty badass. And I can't wait to see how it's all going to
tie in. Sure.
With
Look,
Infinity
I'm excited.
War.
Yeah. I'm excited for the movie. Again, don't misunderstand my opinionated, ideological side to my excitement for Captain Marvel. I am pretty psyched about the film. I read up on the Captain Marvel kind of storyline. Apparently, there are rumors saying that Kevin Feige might be taking some artistic license or artistic liberties with how it's going to how she is, because there in the comic books, apparently it's an explosion that causes her DNA to merge with Kree DNA.
Yeah.
But according to the rumors about Feige's artistic liberties, he might be making her half Kree, as in she's half human, half Kree, not DNA merger.
A la Peter Quill.
Yeah. So all in all, I'm excited for it. It does look pretty interesting. I mean, it's a period piece as well. Yeah.
Set in the 90s.
Which is exciting to see Marvel in that decade, the MCU in that decade. So I am pretty excited about it. Speaking of sequels and whatnot, you sent me this almost like 2 weeks ago, a week ago?
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this is happening. So A Quiet Place is getting a sequel.
Yeah. Because business.
Because money.
Yeah, because business. Because pesos, dollars.
Lasai.
Yen, euros.
Really? Yeah. I mean, the movie was so good. Why are we sequelizing it? Is that even a word?
It could be.
Can we make it a word?
Let's make it a word. Sequelize. Okay, the sequelizer. Denzel would be good in that film. he kills all the sequels we don't want.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That would make a great movie. So A Quiet Place is getting a sequel. John Krasinski is attached. We just don't know how much he is attached. There is speculation that he's only going to be attached as a producer, not necessarily as a director. This would break my heart so much. I would love him to direct the sequel if they are that adamant on making a sequel.
Yeah.
On the other side of sequels, Top Gun Maverick is delayed.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a big deal because it's been out there for the past.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, what's one more year?
What's one more year of waiting for Tom Cruise and his Ray-Bans?
But the cast is kind of like dope.
I mean, I like Miles Teller.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan of Miles Teller.
It's got a big cast. So many names, so many returning names.
Yeah. Kilmer is returning, isn't he?
Yeah, Kilmer, Tom Cruise is in it. I forgot, but there was a list of so many actors in it. And
I can see everybody in my mom's generation, all the women in my mom's generation are all going to be going to see this movie.
But again, they're playing on nostalgia with this film because
they also have...
But the new kids, like Miles Teller, so younger people are going to see that, the parents are going to see that. Yep. We're going to see that.
And Miles Teller's playing the son of the guy
Goose.
That... Yeah.
I think
Goose. Goose dies, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So...
Played by Anthony Edwards from ER.
So Miles Teller is a great casting for Goose's son. Talk about nostalgia.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. Now, let's see how it goes. It's fine. I don't have a problem with that being delayed. I have a bigger problem with A Quiet Place having a sequel.
Yeah,
just,
same here.
Just leave
because
it was where it was.
It's so good. It's so good. The ending is so epic, and that movie is such a great film. Like,
we
don't need to know what happens next.
It was good the way it was. That's it.
Ugh. Whatever. I mean, it's all about expanding universes now, anyway.
Let's hope it goes out of World War Z, where they said there's a sequel, and it kept on being pushed, and it hasn't happened since.
Good.
So let's hope this happens with A Quiet Place.
Just really quickly, before we jump into the last thing we're going to talk about, before we take our final musical break and we jump into recommendations and the box office, Henry Cavill has been cast as the lead in Netflix's The Witcher, which is based on the game of the same name.
Yeah.
I'm a poet, and I know I'm a poet. So I'm excited for this. I'm a fan of Henry Cavill. I've been a fan of his since The Count of Monte Cristo and his TV series, not his alone, but the TV series he was on. He was on The Tudors.
Mm-hmm.
He did a fantastic job on those. I believe his stint as Clark Kent has been misjudged. It's not the greatest acting performance, but it has been misjudged, in my opinion. But he was really good in Mission Impossible. So.
He was good. Yeah, he was okay. I didn't have a problem with him. He's not a person I dislike, but he's not a person I like either.
Yeah.
I still think I have to see something and go, wow, this guy is talented.
Hopefully it could be The Witcher.
Maybe. I'm not into gaming that much.
Oh,
I kind of like read about the whole monster kind of thing. I mean, I hope it's cool.
It's very like gothic horror kind of thing.
And it's Netflix.
And it's Netflix. So
could be interesting.
Yeah, blood,
they're known for their series.
So
yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Okay, finally, what TV show? We are about to enter the new fall season of television. A lot of new TV shows are coming out. A lot of old ones are returning. A lot of even more older ones are being rebooted. Magnum P.I., Murphy Brown, the list can go on.
On and on.
So are there any TV shows that you are looking forward to in the coming fall season? And by fall, we're talking 2018. We're not talking 2019.
There are three shows. One of them I will save as a recommendation.
Okay.
And two are, the first one is Maniac, which is an original show, Emma Stone and Jonah Hill
yeah.
on Netflix. It looks very interesting and very trippy.
Inception-y.
And very like it's going to make you like scratch your head and think. Performances seem interesting. I mean, it's a trailer, so you can't really know much. But it's stuck. Oh my God, what's happening?
What on earth happened with you?
Okay, rewind. Okay, so we haven't seen Emma Stone and Jonah Hill, I think, since Superbad because they acted together.
Yeah.
So that was a genre, and this is a very different
Completely
genre.
Completely different genre.
So let's see how that goes, but I'm super excited about this. And you want to go and then I go back, or how you want to do
it? I'm torn because my sense of what I watch has shifted so much. So the majority of the shows that I've literally fallen in love with won't be coming out until 2019.
Yep.
But I am looking forward to the new season of Last Man Standing. It's Tim Allen's new sitcom, which was canceled off of ABC, but then Fox saved it. And then you can go now.
Yeah. Okay. So The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead started off as a really, really good show and then slumped and then went up and down. And then last season was all right.
Okay.
But now here's the very interesting thing is that the main actor, Andrew Lincoln, is quitting.
Oh.
He wants to spend time with his family. And so he's going to be leaving this season, but not at the end of it. He has like 4 or 5 episodes probably and he leaves. So no one knows if he's going to be killed off or whatnot. So I'm actually curious to see how he's going to leave the show and what's going to happen next.
Okay.
How the show will evolve. And I saw the trailer for the new season. It looks quite interesting. They have new actors. I think Josh Gad has a small part, if I'm not mistaken.
Dead?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
I'll double check, but so it looked very interesting.
Okay. Like I said, there are a lot of shows that are coming out. There are new shows that are coming out that I'm actually curious to watch. One of them is produced by Ridley Scott, and it's called The Passage. It looks pretty interesting. And there is another one called God Friended Me, and it's going to be on CBS, and it looks pretty interesting as well.
God Friended Me. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But those are new shows. They haven't really... it's going to be like the premiere for them this year. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, the majority of the stuff I'm looking forward to is in 2019, actually.
Yeah.
You know, The Expanse, Game of Thrones, the new season of Yellowstone, you know, a whole bunch of stuff.
Cool.
And you? Was that it?
The last one is going to be my recommendation.
Oh, the last one. Okay. Yeah. All right. You stole that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Super, super quick. It's Dan Fogler, not Josh Gad.
Okay. Dan Fogler.
The guy from Fantastic Beasts. The chubby guy.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. We are back here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM. This is Script to Screen News Hour. Really quick, because... And every time we get to this segment and to this part, we are running short on time.
But we'll make it work. We'll
make it work. Eventually, we'll make it work. So this is the box office, the local box office. What are our top 5 films this week? Hadi, go ahead with the first one.
All right. It's an Egyptian film called El Badla.
The Suit.
Yeah, The Suit with 8,400 entries.
8,400 entries. Okay, awesome. Yep. The second film in our top box office. Maybe next time we should have done them 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ooh.
That would have been much better.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's for next time. Number 2 is Warner Brothers' The Meg with 7,300 entries.
Third one is Mission Impossible Fallout with 5,200 entries.
Yeah, that's 5,200 entries for the past week, not what they've done.
Yeah, this is 1 week.
Summer.
This is 7 days.
So yeah, this is just the past 7 days. And in Lebanon, the movie week starts on Thursday and ends on Wednesday.
Absolutely.
Okay, so number 4 is Slenderman with 4,700 entries. And finally...
Destination Wedding with Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder with 4,600 entries.
Awesome.
Yep.
So that's it. These are our top 5 in the local Lebanese box office. Straight to Script to Screen recommends. Had.
Yeah, so obviously I'm recommending a series.
Cool.
No, that comes out in 2019.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about The Man in the High Castle, which was a really...
And here I thought you were going to do Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
No, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is 2019, next year. Doesn't come out.
But
this
we
year.
Had spoken. Okay.
No, but then we saw, and then
Okay.
Remember? Do you remember? Okay. So yeah, The Man in the High Castle is basically what if. It's the first season starts out, what if the Nazis had won World War II? And it's set, I guess, in the 50s. And then it develops into parallel universes and stuff. It's really mind-blowing, very interesting show. Season 3 kicks off in October. Great performances.
And you've seen both seasons?
Yeah, season one and two? I've seen the first two seasons. They were really good. It's a really good show. So check that out.
I have it on my queue. I've never actually sat down to
check
watch
it. Check it out.
I've seen the pilot maybe 7 times.
Yeah, no, well, go beyond the pilot. I
mean. Yeah. As for me, it's going to be a movie for me this week that I watched yesterday with my father. Co-directed by Jim Henson and Frank Oz by the name of The Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
And wow. Just wow, the amount of work in that film. It's a very simple story. I'm not going to give it away. Just go watch it if you're a fantasy fan and if you're into animatronics and puppetry, because it is mind-blowing what they were able to do. And Netflix is releasing a 10-episode series next year called The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance, but it has been promised that it is going to be done as original with puppetry and animatronics with a little bit of VFX, but not too much. Real quick, if you want to follow us on social media, you can follow me at Alan Mahana and
@.solo.
Thank you so much. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Podbean, Podchaser,
and Rami,
Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere. You can watch us on YouTube. Make sure you tune in next Friday at 3 p.m. for another episode of Script to Screen Spotlight, and on Saturday for Script to Screen at News Hour. Thank you so much for tuning in. See you next week. Cue the credits.
Au revoir.